Today on episode number 329 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to talk about a little podcast promotion. Got some free tips and some great resources. We're going to talk about what kind of passion do you have to be a podcaster. We're going to talk a little marketing with a 20-year veteran about identifying your target audience. And can I say one thing? Just before we start the show, here's the cool thing about that interview. In the middle of it, we kind of, I guess you could call it a mistake. And I'm just going to leave it in so you can hear how we shaped the rest of the interview. Now let's kick off the show. Ladies, hit it.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is the original podcast about podcasting, and we talk about all things from planning to recording to promoting, all points in between, while I help you eliminate the podcasting pitfalls that many new podcasters make. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to email me, it's dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call me 888-563-3228. That is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. And if I said that too fast, you can hit rewind at the podcast. That's one of the things that's really cool about it. You can also leave a message out at our website on the right-hand side. We're on now on the left-hand side. I've got contact tabs. It's contact tabs aplenty on the website. And again, our website, schoolofpodcasting.com. Everything that I am talking about today, you can find by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/329. And this first segment, what I want to talk about is for somebody, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, everybody says you have to be passionate about the topic. Whatever it is, have lots and lots of passion. And when you have a lot of passion, go out and get some more passion, right? Well, I have an example of the kind of passion you need. So if you already have a podcast, feel free to fast forward. I won't be offended, really. And when you hear the music, you know I'm moving on to the next topic. But here's the thing. I'm going to kind of tell this in a story form. My stepson, Alex, is 15 years old, and he has his temporary driving permit. In the U.S., you can get your license at the age of 16. And I've known Alex for 6 years now, as I dated his mother and married her. And for 6 years, we've been trying to get Alex to go to bed, which is really bad because as a parent, you kind of go, that's it, go to your room. And they're like, cool, that's where the Xbox, PlayStation, TV, all my toys are in there, right? And so it's just been, and when we finally got rid of the video games, it was replaced by a Mac Mini. He's playing games. We just can't get this kid to go to sleep. It doesn't matter. Now, we kind of let it slide because he's getting straight A's. So, you know, worse things in the world than the fact that the kid comes home from school and then takes a nap. But being that he now has, I don't know, our life in his hands when he's driving, we're kind of hoping that he's not too drowsy. So we said, okay, Alex, if you want to drive, you have to start going to bed sooner. And after 6 years of trying to get this kid to go to sleep, Alex is now going to bed. I don't know if he's going to sleep, but at least he's going to bed sooner. And if you think about all the things you go through to get your driver's license, you have to study and pass a written test to even get your temps. Then you have to drive around with your parents. In Alex's case, he has to take a driver's ed class. Mine was provided by my school back in the day, but now you have to pay for that. And then eventually you have to do the maneuverability, knock over a few cones. I don't know if he still has to do that or not. And then you have to pass your test. Now, what's interesting about this is when I was growing up, you know, we would chisel out a car from stone, right? And we had gerbils. It was like Fred Flintstone. But when I was growing up, my first car was a 74 Dodge Dart. And I was driving my parents, what it seemed to be a boat at the time, this big Dodge Polaris. And all my other friends failed the very first time they took their driver's test. I aced it with a whopping 76%, which was just enough to squeak by. But my friends that didn't had to go back, practice some more, read more on the book, whatever they had to do, they had to go back, and they went back. Why? Because they had that passion, because nothing was going to stop them from driving. So I say that now to answer the question, what kind of passion are you talking about? You need the passion of a 15-year-old looking to get their license to podcast. Why? Because podcasting is not super easy. Now, let me take that back. Getting an audience isn't super easy. I've said it before. You probably have the skills to podcast. If you can upload a file, if you can upload a photo in Facebook, well, that's the same thing as uploading an MP3 file to your media host. If you can type up a letter in email or in Microsoft Word, well, then you can type up show notes. If you can press record on the videotape player, then you can probably press record on Audacity. You've got the skills. Growing your audience is the part that's kind of tough. And that's where you need the passion to pursue through, to go through, make the best content you can, go wherever your audience is, make friends with them, and tell them about your podcast. And you keep doing that and doing that and doing that because you have the passion of a 15-year-old looking to get their license. That's the kind of passion you need. Next up, I want to talk about a podcast promotion service that I have. I don't talk a lot about it. I'm not a big fan of just promoting to promoting, but since we're talking about promoting, were we talking about promoting? I think we were. PodcastClicks.com has some news. And if you're not familiar with this, it is a banner exchange program, meaning you have a banner made, and I have resources for that. And you have basically this banner for your website, and you upload it to your website. Then you create an account for free at podcastclicks.com. You tell PodcastClicks, here's where my banner is. When people click on it, go to this website, which would be your website. And then you say, this, my podcast is about this, this, that, and that, and that. And you basically pick, much like iTunes categories, you pick that. And then what happens is you then get a piece of code, and you could say, look, I only want to show banners from music, business, and fitness. And it then generates a piece of code that you copy. You put that into a text widget on your sidebar of your website in WordPress, and it starts showing banners. Now, the cool thing about that is every time you show somebody else's banner, they show your banner. So for every impression that you show, you receive an impression. And I just looked at this, and so far, this year, we have received 10,098,392 impressions, and we have sent 102,146 clicks to people using the system. And I bring this up now because I had a couple users say, look, I'm using a new theme, because right now we have sizes are 125 by 125 pixels, 120 by 240, 468 by 60, which is your traditional kind of half banner. And somebody said, hey, can we have a 250 by 250? The big square ones, those seem to work now in a lot of the themes. And I said, sure. So that's why I'm saying that. If you are a PodcastClicks user, you should have gotten my email, but you can now. And what you can do basically is take your 1400 by 1400 iTunes album art, resize that down. If you go to, there's a great free service, and we all like free. If you go to Pixlr, PIXLR.com, it's like having Photoshop on the internet. And you can easily go in, upload your image, say, hey, make this 250 by 250 pixels, and then save it back to your computer under a new name, obviously, and use that. And so you may not need to have a banner redesigned or thing, especially for this one, it's square already, and start earning some free impressions and free clicks. Now, I will say right now, if you grab the code for the 250 by 250, the default ad is an ad for my website, the School of Podcasting. And as soon as other people start in your category, let's say you're in the food category. Well, right now, I don't know that we have a lot of food podcasters, but hey, you could be the first. And that's why a lot of people just say show all the categories, or they'll say all the categories except the mature ones. And all I put in the mature category are people that put like, you know, F asterisk CK on their banner because they're trying to be cute and edgy. And that way you can kind of control what's on there. And I do police that fairly brutally. If you do anything remotely adult on your podcast or in your banner, you're going to be marked as mature. And so some people will do that. But I just say that if you put the code and you're like, hey, this is just an ad for the School of Podcasting, as more and more people use that particular size, there'll be more images, and then you'll start to see banners rotate through that. So if you just sign up right now and go, hey, what's the deal? This is just a School of Podcasting ad. The good news is every time you show that ad, you know, your ad will be rotated in as well. So as we all start to jump on this new size, you will see that rotate. And again, you can find that. It's all free. Podcastclicks.com. There's a video over there that shows you how to sign up. There's a video there that shows you how to go through and put the code. And if you need resources for banners, I've got links for that as well, all out at podcastclicks.com. Next up, since we're talking podcast promotion, we have a very interesting promotional tip. This is from Derek over at the tournamentpokeredge.com podcast. Derek, take it away, buddy.
Hey, Dave, it's Derek Tenbush from the Tournament Poker Edge podcast. You can find us at tournamentpokeredge.com. And I first want to thank you for all of the great information that you provide. And secondly, I was listening to your most recent episode, and you were talking about tips and tricks for getting more listeners for your podcast. And I have one that I have never heard mentioned on any podcast about podcasting or any marketing podcasts, and I think it works pretty well for us, so I thought I'd share it with you. We are, of course, a poker podcast. We do poker strategy for tournament poker players, and we, of course, go to a lot of poker tournaments and casinos. So when we go to the World Series of Poker every summer in Vegas, or anytime we check into a poker room or a casino, we check in on Foursquare. And when you check in on Foursquare, you can leave a tip. And for us, the tip we always leave is, if you play poker tournaments and you want to listen to a free strategy podcast, check out tournamentpokeredge.com or search Tournament Poker Edge on iTunes for a free poker strategy podcast. So we find that that works pretty well. We've heard from a lot of people who have found us that way. So I just wanted to throw out that little tip because, like I said, it's not something that I've heard mentioned very often, and I thought it might be something you'd like to share with your audience. So that's it. Thanks again for all that you do, and we will talk to you later.
Derek, that is very cool. I actually do that. Now, if you're new to Foursquare, Foursquare is an app that you put on your smartphone, and you can basically load up the app, and then wherever you're at, via the GPS, it kind of knows where you're at, and you can check in, which basically says, hey, go rob my house because I'm not home. No, wait, that's not what the app does. It lets people know where you're at. Now, what's fun about this, I've talked about this with musicians, because you can see if any of your, quote, fans are there. Because much like Facebook and every other social networking thing, you can kind of make friends on Foursquare and kind of see where people are. And it's just another way to keep tabs and stalk people. It's great. And I say that, of course, with my tongue completely in my cheek. But I've done this because when I go to the gym, I have a weight loss podcast over at logicalloss.com. And I will go into my gym, I will check in, and I will say, listening to the Logical Weight Loss podcast while walking on the treadmill, you know, at logicalloss.com. So it is a great tip, because if we go back to podcast promotion, I've always said, you know, determine who your target audience is, figure out where they are, go there, make friends with them, and let them know. Now, unfortunately, we can't always make friends with them, but you've got 3 out of 4. And that's not bad. That's, you know, you've identified your target audience as people that play poker. You have gone where they are. That's good. You don't get a chance to make friends with them because you're not face-to-face with them, but you are able to then say, hey, if you're interested in a free is always good. People love free. You know, 3 out of 4 isn't bad, and great promotional tip. Again, everybody check him out at tournamentpokeredge.com. Derek, thank you so much for sending that in. Deeply appreciated. The next voicemail is from Jeremy Mendelson from criticaltransit.com. Jeremy, what you got for us?
Hey, Dave, this is Jeremy from New York. I just wanted to say thanks for the show. I thought it would be appropriate to do a recording as opposed to an email. So you can call it a voicemail if you will, whatever. I do the Critical Transit podcast at criticaltransit.com, and I've been doing that for a couple months and trying to get it up and little more regular and promote it. And I'm actually in the situation right now that you described recently with the with Podbean. I actually I pay for a Podbean plan, but I'm going to have to move it over because there are issues with, like you said, with the advertising and some other things. So, yeah, that's, I thought that's kind of interesting. But really, I just wanted to say thanks for doing the show. I've learned a lot, and I hope you keep it up. Also, a question. I'm trying to figure out whether I should go with Libsyn or Blueberry as my host. And I really like the plugin that Blueberry has for WordPress. And so I guess if I had to pick one or the other, it would be Blueberry on that basis. But I don't know. You talk about these being the ways to go, you know, but I was just wondering if you have any recommendations as to one or the other, and if there is a similar functionality in Libsyn. I basically just want to be able to do all the articles and all that, you know, to do all the blog posts and to, you know, put the podcast notes and put everything in the WordPress site and just, you know, just, I just need the feed, you know, and to show up on the same site and whatever. I don't need a separate site, which is kind of what Podbean offers. For the podcast, I have the blog going totally fine. So, and if you have any thoughts on that, that would be great. Let me know.
Jeremy, thank you so much for that question. You can, again, find him at criticaltransit.com. The website says promoting critical thinking about sustainable transportation. And if you actually talked about this previously, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/275, I will give you the rundown here. When it comes to Blueberry versus Libsyn, they're both, first of all, great companies started by podcasters for podcasters. And they both have certain things that make them unique. If you go by price alone, Libsyn is a better deal. Since we're mentioning that, you can get a free month at Libsyn. Use the coupon code SOPFREE. For instance, $20 at Blueberry gets you 250 megs. With Libsyn, $20 a month gets you 450 megs. So you get more megs for your buck, right? However, I always ask people, like if I get somebody who's really, really just, I'm not a technical person, I'm not good with computers, Blueberry is a smidge easier because when you upload your file, you can do it within the WordPress system. And as it uploads, it actually also adds your ID3 tags. So it's kind of one step. Now, it does monopolize your site while you do that, your blog. You can't type in show notes and things like that. But you're like, oh, so Libsyn is a whole lot harder? No, it's not hard at all. In fact, you can. What I do is I upload my file to Libsyn. I put in a quick title, and then it spits out a file. It says, here's where your MP3 file is. Here all you do, copy and paste. So I have to log into a separate website, upload a file, much like I'm uploading a picture to Facebook, and then just copy and paste. Now, I haven't used it yet, but they do have a system in place where if you wanted to, you could type your show notes in Libsyn and have it automatically post to your WordPress site. I have not done that yet because I don't think copying and pasting is that big a deal. So the big difference between the two also, and here's the other two big differences. The Libsyn has the ability to where you can have your own smartphone app, be it iPhone, be it Android. And you can actually sell those. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/APP, that will take you over to my app if you want to buy it. And you can just have all the episodes there in the app. Now, the one thing that Blueberry does that Libsyn does not is they can get you on boxes like the Roku and the Boxy. They're a little more tied into those types of things. So, yeah, Roku, Boxy, Looky TV, Samsung Smart TV, and a host of other devices. Todd Cochran had mentioned that as well. So, depending on what you're looking at, if you're looking for super easy, Blueberry, they both have phenomenal stats. Their stats, by far, they're both great. And so, you can actually use, when you put your Libsyn ID into Blueberry, into the Blueberry PowerPress plugin, you still get your stats. So even though Libsyn is not part of Blueberry, you can use the PowerPress plugin. So don't think that, oh, because I'm using this plugin, I have to use Blueberry. You don't have to. you can, and it will work with that. And I've got tutorials to show everything about PowerPress in the School of Podcasting. But for me, do I have a clear-cut winner? It depends on my client. I use Libsyn simply because they were the first one there back in 2005. But I do have a couple podcasts on Blueberry just because I always, if you are a regular listener to the show, I have my fingers in all sorts of pies. I actually started using Podbean, which I will quit just to check out their stats, and their stats are horrible. They're horrible. Speaking of horrible stats, if you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/DaveTube, I do have a new YouTube video which shows you how, if you're using SoundCloud, we haven't talked about this, I don't think, a lot. SoundCloud is not a great option for podcasting. A lot of people are like, oh, look, it's so easy. I can just copy and paste this and boom, I get a player. And you will see that if you have a SoundCloud player on your website, even if it has the word podcast next to it, it's not a podcast. You have audio on the internet. Unless you sign up for their specifically designed service for podcasting. Now, if you want to have it like Libsyn and Blueberry, where you have an unlimited storage. Now, they limit how much you can upload a month, but I mean, I've got 329 episodes. They're all online because of my back catalog. If you want that option with SoundCloud, it's about $95 a month. And their stats are caca poo poo. So, no, I don't even, you know, and yes, people can put comments on the audio file. I've done tests with this where I have put my MP3 file, in this case on Libsyn. I set up my blog to where if you subscribe to iTunes or any other kind of RSS feeder, it got the MP3 file from Libsyn. But if you went to the website, the only way you could listen to it, I told PowerPress, don't show a player, but still deliver the RSS feed, the MP3 file, to the iTunes people and to everybody else on smartphones. But if you're on my website, the only way you could listen to it would be to click on the actual, in this case, SoundCloud player, which tracks how many plays it was. And it wasn't that many. Comparatively, if you think, wow, I'm probably getting some plays either on the SoundCloud website, no. People, if you're into DJ music and kind of music, by all means, jump all over SoundCloud if you're a musician. It's a free way to stream music. But as a podcast solution, no, it's overpriced and their stats are nowhere near Blueberry or Libsyn. So thank you so much again for the question. I deeply appreciate it. Next up, we have an email from JD Stutter. You can find him out at radiocss.com. He's got his own little podcasting empire going on over there. He says, Dave, I was curious as to your thought process behind the decision to create separate podcasts for the Power of Podcasting and More Podcast Money, as opposed to just adding these segments to the SOP Morning Announcement Show. Were there any particular reasons for this? In other words, what were you thinking? And the original thought behind the Power of Podcasting was I had two reasons for it. I had some people that be like, well, why should I start a podcast? Well, that podcast at powerofpodcasting.com, by the way, explains different podcast success stories, people being seen as experts, people building loyal audiences, people making money, people benefiting from their podcast, people getting to meet people that were their heroes. And so I wanted that as kind of a, here's why you should podcast. I also wanted it to be a resource for people who are trying to sell advertising on their show. To say, look at the relationship you build with your audience. This is why I can charge this much for you to get to my audience, because they listen to me. So I wanted that to be an easy answer. If somebody said, well, why should I start a podcast? I would just say, go to powerofpodcasting.com. Likewise, morepodcastmoney.com is a companion podcast to the book More Podcast Money, which you can find at, you guessed it, morepodcastmoney.com. Now, the bad news about those particular podcasts is I preach, pick a schedule and stick with it. And I did, and I did, but most of that content doesn't revolve around me. It's other people's success stories, things like that. And I could spend a lot of time going out and finding people with podcast success stories. And if you can answer the question, because of my podcast, and then fill in the blank, let me know. And you're right. People might enjoy that segment, a short one, because most of those podcasts are less than 10 minutes. Could have easily been a segment on this show. And likewise, More Podcast Money is typically a quick monetization kind of tip that could easily be on this show. And while we're at it, the podcast review show at podcastreviewshow.com is something that probably could be on this show as well as segments. I don't know if I would have one in every single show, but the great thing is with those options of a podcast review, a monetization tip, and a podcast success story, that would be pretty much what we talk about here anyway. And then throw on top of it, this week I was talking with my good buddy Ray Ortega over at podcasterstudio.com and the Podcasters Roundtable. He's actually next week, we're going to be talking with Ray about a little behind the scenes of the Podcasters Roundtable and how he pulls that up using a Google Hangout. And so that's going to be an interesting, it's a great interview. And Ray's a great guy. So that'll be coming up next week. And so I was talking with Ray and he said, well, you know, you do say your podcast is, you talk about all things podcasting and then you made three separate podcasts about podcasting. And I went, that's a good point. So if you are a regular listener to The Power of Podcasting, you'll probably hear some of that content work its way back in here. I will probably still add new episodes over there, but you'll hear them here. So if you basically want to get everything, just subscribe to this podcast. And if you're tired of this podcast and you just want to learn about making money with your podcast, then you could go over and go More Podcast Money. If you just want to hear podcast success stories, you could do that. If you just want podcast reviews, but this will be basically have everything. And the other thing is, the reason for that is when I was at Blog World this year, I had a fair number of people came up to me and said, Dave, I love your podcast, which is always nice to hear. And they all said they had one complaint. And I'm always interested in complaints. I always want this show to be the best it can be. And the complaint was, it's too short. So I've been making them a little longer. Never want to go more than an hour. Typically, I was shooting before about 20 minutes, maybe 30. Now I'm shooting at 30, maybe 40. So we shall see. And I would love your feedback on that. Is it too long? Is it too short? I'm never going to please everybody, but I appreciated the feedback I got from that. So expect to hear more of those types of topics here in this podcast. And like I said, next week, you're going to hear Ray Ortega on this show as we talk about the behind the scenes of the Podcasters Roundtable and how he's using Google Hangouts to record his podcast. So joining me via Skype, all the way from, where are you at in Australia?
I'm actually over in Perth, so I'm about 12 hours off your time zone.
Well, there you go. See, because I'm such a silly American. I don't even know where Perth is. I've never heard of Perth.
Yeah, it's the west coast of Australia, so the other side from Sydney. If you took a map of Australia and you put it on top of a map of the states, it would be where LA is.
All right. Well, there you go.
There we go.
So it's Angela Bennett, and she is the podcast goddess. We actually have some estrogen coming into the podcasting world here. So Angela, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate
it. And wanted to kind of just get to know you a bit and kind of see where you're coming from. And I know you have I listen to your podcast and obviously you kind of have a marketing background. So just tell us a little bit about your background and where you're coming from.
Well, I've been doing marketing for about 20 years, and most of that's been in the online arena. And a lot of what I was seeing in online marketing was coming from that traditional marketing direction where you have a product and you tell people how great it is and you throw a lot of money at the problem of teaching people about your product. And that just wasn't very effective in the online marketing world. And I I'm watching the content marketing models evolve and really enjoying what I'm seeing in those. I think they're much more effective when it comes to making connections with audience, with markets.
Yeah, so kind of like the Jeff Walkers, the product launch formula guys. I don't think that's a bad formula. I just think at times it's such a formula that everybody can see it. It's like, oh, here we go again. Here's video number one of four. And
I think with podcasting in particular, you have to move away from the formula direction of it. It has to be really authentic because you can't just put out a few podcasts and expect that to carry you through. You have to really be talking to an audience that is interested in the same thing that you're interested in. If you're going to be podcasting about something, you better really love it because there's a lot of time that goes into just the recording of the podcast, let alone all the rest that goes around it.
Absolutely. Now, were you working with like marketing firms or have you just been kind of freelance marketing or?
I've done mostly freelance marketing. I learned to market in the Bay Area during the 90s tech boom, and I've always been on that technical edge there of the online marketing world, but always as a freelancer.
Awesome. Now, what attracted you to podcasting?
I've always loved audio. I've always listened to audio. I grew up listening to The Goon Show with my grandparents and Monty Python skits and Radio 4. And I moved to the US in about 1987 and discovered NPR. So, and as a freelancer, I listened to spoken audio all day long, every day for years and years and years. So in about the mid-2000s when podcasting came along and I started listening to podcasters developing techniques, developing the way that they were talking to audiences, starting to try and make their living doing it, it was really intriguing. I've wanted to make a podcast for several years and just needed to find the right spot to do that for me.
Well, speaking of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast? You can find that over at podcastgoddess.com.
Yeah, I want to say I am not the podcast goddess. I am not that. I think of my audience as being the podcasting goddesses. These are the women who are out there with something to say on a subject that they're deeply, deeply passionate about, and they want to bring that to people. They want to educate people. They want to talk more about the thing that they love most in the world. These are the podcasting goddesses. I'm so new to podcasting, I can't wear that title yet.
So it's kind of, if we go back to the good old Tony Robbins, awaken the giant within, you're saying awaken the goddess within.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to be a podcasting goddess. I want to be as good as the girls that I'm talking to.
Well, there you go. Now, what services do you currently offer? Because I know you have a couple different marketing classes. What all we got going on over there?
Yeah, at this point, I've got a six-week course that I'm developing that teaches a lot of the content marketing style techniques that I'm seeing a lot used in blogosphere and adapts them towards a podcasting audience. And so it's a lot about finding who your target audience is, defining them, learning to create a marketing message that speaks to them really directly, something that is that resonates with you as a podcaster, that really plays into doing more of the thing that you love so that you can be better and better at it. And then also talks about how to create products that and not sort of slimy taking advantage type products, but real step up products, things that take the subject that your audience is interested in, the thing that they listen to you for, and helps you develop ways for them to get more of that, and so that it becomes a very symbiotic relationship with your audience. You're giving them more of what they want, and they're giving you the means through income to be able to do more of what you love doing.
There you go. Now, you mentioned obviously that you're kind of targeting women in this case. Is there a huge difference from marketing to men than marketing to women?
Yes and no. I think women love to talk, and I think we love to talk a lot when we're in a safe place to talk. I love all, you know, the LinkedIn groups, and there's even, you know, podcast.com group on Facebook, but they're very, very male dominated. There's a lot of guys in there, and it's almost exclusively the guys who are talking. And I think when I look around the podcasting world, there's not a lot of support or network out there for podcasting women that really helps us establish the links between our podcasts and helps us support and grow each other. So that's why I'm kind of talking to the girls.
I listened to your one episode where so many people say there is no money in podcasting. And I think so many people think that we're only talking about selling the physical download. And it's like, yes. No, there's so much more to that.
Exactly. I've listened to a podcast called Site Visibility, which is put on by, I don't know if you know it, but they're an SEO company in Brighton, mm-hmm. UK. I've listened to them for years, and they started with one podcasting model, and they've chopped it and changed it. But they've really built their entire search engine optimization marketing around their podcast. And they have a conference that they hold in Brighton now. I think this has been the third year. And the first year it was so small that it happened in a pub. And this year that people were lined up around the block for this conference. It was huge. They had big industry search engine optimization bigwigs talking at this conference. They carved out a niche for themselves using the podcast to talk about the thing that they love most in the world.
Amazing. Yeah, that's Kevin Newman and my buddy Dr. Pod.
That's right.
Andy White. So
yeah, they rock it, don't they?
There you go. What's been the biggest struggle for you so far?
Oh, I'm very new to podcasting. As I say, I'm not trying to fool anybody on this, you know. So for me, the technical side has been big, trying to get the right equipment, get my fingers around Audacity, get a sound that works for me. Those basic things. Luckily, because of my background in marketing, I knew WordPress, I knew Facebook, I know Google AdWords. I can incorporate all of those parts of it. But of course, that's a double-edged sword because I tend to want to do all of those things as well. I've spread myself a little thin over the last couple of months putting it together, but now I'm starting to do more and more of the podcasting portion of it, which is the goal.
I'm going to throw a question out that everybody seems to throw out is, you know what? No, I'm not. That's going to be edit point number one. I was going to ask you, do you think the word podcasting is a hindrance to anything? But you know what? I really don't care about that question.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what we're calling it. I feel like I say podcast 9,000 times a day now, but what yeah. Are you going to do? That's what it's called.
I'm going to give you a new trick that I just learned today because I was actually got interviewed on a radio station today. What is your best answer and what should I ask you?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
That was something that, see, that's what I did. They're like, yeah, tell us what our talking points are. And I'm like, excuse me? And they're like, yeah, just tell us what you want to talk about. And I'm like, oh, I thought you were interviewing me. Okay, well, we can talk about this, that.
No, I think that's a really valid kind of technique. It's kind of the same thing I'm going for in that last question where I'm saying, is there anything mm-hmm. that you want to add? Because the thing that I would really love people to know from this interview in the end is that I need to begin having conversations with the women who are out there with podcasting. You know, I have answers, but I need to know what questions I'm answering. I need to know what issues they're having with marketing their podcast, with developing their products, with developing authentic styles, so that I can start developing solutions for them that work for them. So I don't know if there's a way to ask that, but
yeah.
You know, if I get somebody hearing your podcast and giving me a call and saying, yes, I want to kvetch about my problems to you, then that would be a great thing.
Well, there you go. You know what? I just might be crazy enough. If you don't care, I might just leave this in the way it is.
Okay.
To show you that an interview doesn't have to be picture perfect.
Okay.
So right now we're leaving the curtain peeled back on the behind the scenes stuff.
That's what I love about podcasting and podcasters. How many times have I listened over the last half dozen years to my favorite podcasters give me a bit of insight into what it is that they're doing behind the scenes that works or doesn't work? And I listen to that as a marketer, and it just sets all the wheels in my head turning for the things that I would love to pass along to people who need that. So, yeah, go for it. Leave it open.
There you go. Well, you mentioned about women that are podcasting. Why don't you – there's a feature we have on this podcast. We do it every now and then. We call it the last five and five, meaning can you remember the last five podcasts that you listened to and then tell us a little bit about each one and do that under 5 minutes? Is that an assignment you think you can do?
All right. Well, we'll have a go.
All right.
One of my most recent ones was your podcast, which is enormously helpful, of course, Dave. It has brilliant insight, and you speak so perfectly to me because as a new podcaster, I have a lot to learn from you, so that's great. Site Visibility that I mentioned before, the SEO podcast out of Brighton, they have so many great tips in there, not just on search engine optimization, but on internet marketing as a whole. And I noticed that they're actually doing content marketing episodes right now. So I love those guys. Freedom Ocean is one that I've just stumbled across recently. And that one I love because it's a lot like Copy Blogger for bloggers. I don't know if you know the Copy Blogger, but I just adore the writing on that. And Freedom Ocean is the same kind of thing. I love the energy that the guys have between them, even though a lot of the time they're not even talking about terribly much to do with content marketing, but they have a great vibe. For fun, I love Mysterious Universe. Do you know that one?
I've heard about that one from Andy.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, they do sort of a I don't know if you know the old Art Bell Coast to Coast radio show, but it's a Art Bell kind of vibe. I love Mysterious Universe. I think Lee Camp over at Moment of Clarity is fantastic because he is another bring the curtain down kind of guy. He's so authentic. He just gets out there and says what he wants to say. So
there you go.
And Zencast is one of my favorites as well, which is less of a podcast. It's a recording of Zen-inspired talks out of the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City in California. So that one is just for when I want to tune out and be peaceful. I love Zencast.
Very cool.
I think I did that turbo way under 5 minutes.
You did. Absolutely. Now, we did talk about some of the podcasts you like. Has there been – and you don't have to name names unless you want to. But have you heard anything on podcasts that you go, yeah, this one isn't – you know, it just made you tune out or unsubscribe or anything like that? Anything that you like, yeah, this – I thought I was going to like this, but because of blank, I'm not going to listen to this one anymore.
Yeah, that – it's hard to know what doesn't work because you tend to back away from it so quickly. There's so many good options out there. But I like a podcaster who is relaxed about it, who they could be reading, but they don't have to sound like they're reading. I like it when they're just talking. You know, it's all right to not be perfect all the time, to say stuff the wrong way, or the quote wrong way. I like a podcaster who is just being themselves because I'll either like them or I won't, but at least they're not pretending.
Well, and speaking of that, with your marketing background, what are kind of some of the top marketing mistakes that you've seen people make just in any marketing in general and how that might apply to podcasting?
Being really general about who you're talking to and what issue you're going to fix for them or help them solve, I think, is the biggest mistake you can make at the moment. We've gone beyond a competition kind of headspace very quickly. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you could still be in competition with the other people who did what you did or do. But these days, competition just doesn't work anymore. I think not tailoring your message to the needs of your audience, not really thinking about what it is that your audience is looking for, I think that's the biggest mistake that can be made today. And it's one of the greatest things about where we are now from where marketing and advertising used to be, is taking advantage of the fact that you can connect with any kind of person you need to connect with on the planet. It's just a matter of defining who that is and going and beginning to talk to them.
Absolutely. I had somebody today on my little chat thing. He said, I've got the software, I've got a microphone, now what? And I said, okay, you know, and I said, okay, who do you want to talk to? Who's your audience? And he said, well, I want to reach, he wanted to teach like teenagers about financing. And I'm like, oh, what a great cause.
What a great cause. That's fantastic.
And then I asked him a weird question. I go, why? You know, and he was like, what do you mean why? I go, because if we don't understand why, and it actually turned out that his company is somewhat related in the financial. I said, oh, so we're going to drive business to your company and tying it in together. I said, because whatever the why is, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to kind of dictate what you put in there. Because if you're trying to put yourself in a light that, hey, I'm an expert on this subject, or hey, I want to raise awareness, then everything you do should be, you know, to help further that reason. And a lot of that comes down to step one is, like you said, specifically figuring out who you're talking to and then asking yourself, hey, is this content going to scratch that itch for them, or whatever it is you're trying to do with them?
Exactly. Thinking it through from the audience direction, and also what's going to serve you. The mm-hmm. why is huge, because if you're doing something that doesn't give you the answer to why you're doing it, then you're going to stop doing it.
That's it. If I always say, if you can't define what the why is, you'll never make it through the how, because you'll just lose. Like you said at the very beginning, you've got to have a subject that, you know, to everybody says it, you got to have that passion for it. And that's exactly why. So, well, Angela, thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish you success. I'll be definitely listening, because one of the things I'm always looking for, and in my background, I've always dabbled in marketing. It's always hilarious. I've been in training departments, but because I'm kind of a creative person, I always get sucked into marketing. They're always like, hey, we're brainstorming. Bring Dave in. And so I always kind of end up in the marketing department eventually. But I haven't, you know, had a huge amount of actual, you know, training in that aspect. So I'll be looking forward to tap into some of your experience with your podcast. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks very much, Dave. It was a pleasure.
And there is my conversation with Angela Bennett from podcastgoddess.com. And the thing I like about Angela, and if we go back to Dustin last week, who was the WordPress guru, and now Angela is a marketing guru, you can see in both their cases, they're the first to admit, I didn't know everything about my favorite topic when I started this. But in the process of doing a podcast, they had to study this topic, and they became, you know, knee deep in this, neck deep in some cases, to the point where they have now learned so much that they weren't an expert when they started. But number one, their podcast helps them, be seen as an expert. People are sending them their questions, and as they are identifying those questions and finding the answers, they are finding the most common problems in their community and thus positioning themselves as an expert to help their community. So if you're like, I'd like to start a podcast, but you know, I don't know that much about this. I like this topic, but I don't know that much. Joanna Penn was on The Power of Podcasting. She interviewed all these people about self-publishing. And guess what? Now Angela is asked to speak at publishing conventions because she's seen as a guru of self-publishing. So in some cases, your podcast can be your journey. My original thought of building a better Dave was going to be my journey of going back to dating after being married for 10 years and divorced for a few. And I didn't realize I was going to meet my wife on my third date. But that's where it started. It was going to be this journey of a podcast. So if you're thinking, I wish I was an expert in something, maybe your podcast will be your journey to becoming an expert in that. And maybe you have to pass a test, and maybe you literally, the school of podcasting started that way. In 2005, when I did a Google search for podcasting, there wasn't anything. And when I finally put the bits and pieces together and went, wow, this is so cool, I instantly set up a website because I knew people are going to want to know how to do this. But the first few years of the school of podcasting, every new tutorial was just something I stumbled across and went, hey, here's another cool tool. Oh, here's another great resource. Here's another great piece of software. And so as my journey, as I discovered the power of podcasting, it was just documented into the school of podcasting. Now I've gone back since and said, okay, now that we have all this material, let's take the best of it. Let's make a streamlined approach because you are busy people and I don't have time to surf through all this stuff. Just give me the good stuff. Let's get right to the meat and potatoes, Dave. So it's another way of thinking about starting a podcast. Okay, maybe you're not an expert, but maybe you want to be an expert in it. Well, here's a way to get in touch with those people that are. We talked with Kern, who was the home recording guy about a month ago or so, right? He's now seen as an expert. So it's a great way to get your message out if you're a nonprofit. It's a great way to build a loyal audience. It's a great way to understand your customers if you're a business. There are so many benefits of podcasting, and I want to help you start one. All you have to do is go over to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the join button. It's right there at the top, and sign up. I've got a coupon for you. Go to, just enter in listener. No numbers, just listener. And that will give you a discount off that first month. And remember that every month after that is only $4.99. So I look forward to helping you make a podcast. If you don't have a website yet, send me an email with the phrase quick start in it. And I'll actually set up your website for you, install WordPress, get it all ready with all the right plugins, and then you'll earn a free month at the School of Podcasting. So it's time to start podcasting. If you think about it now, if you start planning it now, shoot, you could have it up before Thanksgiving. And then by next year, you'll be an old pro at this stuff. And I'm there to help you. So if you're ready to go, let's go. If you're not ready to go, let's go. One of my favorite rock stars, David Lee Roth, man, said, I got a two-word plan. Let's go. So it's time to go. And speaking of that, it is time to go. Thank you so much for listening. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com, or Tom, or Thomas, or whoever. I'm kind of stuffed up. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. That's courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can use the SpeakPipe button out at the website. You'll see it. It's either on the left or right side, depending on when you listen to this. Or just leave a comment on our blog at schoolofpodcasting.com. Don't forget that everything we talk about in this show, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/329. Next week, we're going to be talking with Ray Ortega about the behind the scenes of the Podcasters Roundtable. And until then, have a great week. God bless. Live a life worth podcasting about. And I will see you on the inside. Class is dismissed.